Welcome, crazy hooligans, to Cinema Spill, where I, your host, Humphrey Burns, will help you dive into the world of movies and explore different aspects of them and why and how they've impacted our society at large, along with ratings, reviews, and rankings, while having some fun and some interesting trivia that you may want to share with your friends, if you so feel so inclined. Full disclaimer for this podcast, I do not claim credit for these shared facts as my own. The rankings, reviews, and ratings shared on this podcast are my own opinion. I hope you enjoy. All right. Hi, guys. We're back. Welcome back to Simmonsville. I'm your host, Humphrey Burns. And today we're going to be continuing our adventure into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In this case, we are going into an origin story. One that was very, very unpredictable, quite literally. One that I actually was very, very hesitant to watch, very much like Ant-Man, where, you know, I've been so used to the mainstream characters like Iron Man and Hulk and Thor and Spider-Man, you know, those guys. But then you got Black Panther, Ant-Man, and this one, Doctor Strange, they are just a little bit different. And one thing about me is I don't change that much. Change is a little hard for me. But it was a good change to see this one. I actually saw this on the plane on the way home from New York. So, where, crazy enough, that's where this movie takes place. About 6 months, no, not even 6 months. 3 months after it came out. I don't remember. It was a few months after it came out. And I realized I hadn't seen all of them because it was like a TV edited version of it. So anyway, and I was blown away by it. I was like, wow, this is a brand new story. This is something really cool. This is something that there needs to be a lot more stories like this. And at the end of it, it was very interesting how similar he was to Tony Stark. Very set in his ways, very, wisecracking, kind of guy who just doesn't really pay attention to other people and only cares about himself. And of course, he has the same kind of, change as Tony Stark does. And it's interesting that both of them have the same upbringing where they're both extremely rich. Of course, Tony Stark is still rich. But they had to change their lifestyle quite a bit. Doctor Strange quite a bit more, but it's enough to let you know that there is a change. And honestly, because of Doctor Strange's quick quips, like Tony Stark, I was looking forward to them to those two characters to really vibe together and really work really well together in Avengers Infinity War, but it didn't click the same way. An added bonus is Peter Quill from Guardians of the Galaxy. I was looking forward to those three personalities would be perfect for this perfect combination. And I think it's part of it is because of the upbringing that they had. Like, if they were together at the beginning of their origin stories, that would be a lot different than now. Because now, both characters are a lot more serious and more worried about their other people than their own endeavors. This movie really does, is a very interesting origin story in a lot of ways. It was such an obscure film too, where it's the visuals were so immaculate and just beyond anything is why it received, when it first was released in 2016, it received 90 years. It was in the 90s range, and it's only dropped down to 89, and that's not bad. Still a fantastic film, great storyline, great villain. I mean, after all, you have the very Mads Mikkelsen, who played Le Chief in the 2006 Casino Royale. He also was in the Hannibal series as Hannibal Lecter. So very, very good choice of villain for this movie. And I really enjoyed this movie for the well-roundedness it has, where you have a little bit of everything, where Dr. Strange is in his quips but also learning and showing off how smart and brilliant he is. But also being exposed to things he's never heard of or seen before, and really brings home like a lot of things where you're so set in our own worlds and our own understandings that we forget to learn new things. We forget to get out of our comfort zone. And personally, I wish they explored that a little bit more. And of course, they did a fantastic job of how he's, you know, very set in his understanding of the human body. Perfect line by Tilda Swinton, the Ancient One, where she explains that he's been looking at the world through a keyhole and trying to widen that keyhole. And I think they did a really good job of incorporating that and explaining that. I just wish they did more with it. But it doesn't distract the fact that they did a fantastic job with the visual effects, the martial arts, and the just the ability to do what they're doing really provides a very cool story. But not to mention that in addition to all these elements of the story, you know, it had underworldly threats out there besides the Avengers, and not just the outer space ones with Guardians of the Galaxy, but alternate dimensions. It just expands the universe in such a way that it's such a beautiful artistry of what's going on, and provides a very fun film to watch. But one of the things that I really enjoyed was the addition of another Infinity Stone, the Time Stone, the Akimoto. So at this point, we know about the Space Stone, which is from the Tesseract, the Mind Stone, which was in the Scepter, which is also in Vision right now, this far in this timeline. And then we know that the Power Stone is on Xandar. So we know of 1, 2, 3. And we also know about the Reality Stone. So we know about the Mind Stone, 1. Space Stone, 2. Time Stone, which is the new one. Space, time, mind, power, and reality. So we know about 5 of the 6 Infinity Stones. And so it provides a very cool, like, we're at this point where we know of 5, and we know Thanos is out there. So at this point in the series, we're kind of anticipating, okay, what's next? Like, what's with all this? And something I didn't mention before, but this is all part of the Infinity Saga, from Phase 1 all the way up to this point, up to Endgame. We have the Infinity Saga. I had something in mind, but I'm not going to mention it until Endgame, so that's a few episodes away. Anyway, it's just amazing how this movie was able to incorporate so many different elements of the MCU, and I'm going to mention some of those in the next segment, but this movie really does provide a very fun origin story, very fun characters, actors. We got Benedict Cumberbatch, Benedict Wong, which, crazy enough, his actor's name is, his character name is Wong. We got Rachel McAdams, play Christine Palmer. She's amazing. Chiswell Ilfer plays Baron Carl Mordo. And yeah, it's just a really well-rounded cast, very unique story. Although it piggybacks on Iron Man just a little bit, but not too bad. But it's still a very fun story, very fun movie. I really, really recommend it. I was actually playing a game with a few of my friends the other night about our favorite character, favorite superhero. And of course, we all of us only really knew Marvel ones. So I had chosen Doctor Strange. I was actually torn between that and Thor. But I gave the edge to the Doctor Strange. Like, so many cool things he can do. It's really fun. Anyway, so my initial views of this movie. I hope you're liking, just, you know, we're this far into the season, and I just thought I'd ask, like, not just ask, but I hope you guys are enjoying this new format that I'm doing. I'm not doing the strict, like, the nitty-gritty, you know, the sit here, plugging numbers at you, you know, the weekend stats and the reviews and who directs it, also directed by Scott Dickerson. But I didn't think it was good to just, you know, bore you with all of that. So I don't know, I just thought it would be best to, like, just back off a little bit, more leeway, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. So anyway, Scott Dickerson, real quick though, he directed the Sinister movie, which is phenomenal, a classic film. He's also done a Hellraiser movie. He's done the 2001 Hellraiser 5 Inferno. He also, I think he directed the second one. No, he didn't. Yeah, that's right. So he'd done the first one before Doctor Strange. He's also been a part of Devil's Knot, Deliver Us from Evil, and also The Exorcism of Emily Rose. So he's been around. He also did the modern remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We've been talking about Doctor Strange, which was in 2016. And yeah, I'm yours, Humphrey Burns. We'll be right back. Alright guys, we're back. So, we've been talking about Doctor Strange, who was in 2016. So, we really kind of interesting to think about where in the world does this movie fit in the timeline? Yeah. This timeline of really intricate movies, and why, you know, I'm the same guy that put Guardians of the Galaxy 2 right next to Guardians of the Galaxy 1. But why did I put Doctor Strange where I put it? Context clues. Very, very, very important context clues. Now, you could have changed it a little bit, but this way it makes it a little bit more comprehensive. So, let's start with Civil War. Captain America Civil War. And fun fact, actually, that episode came out today, the day I'm recording this episode. So I'm trying to keep ahead of myself, but it's not working out too well. That's why I'm recording it now. Anyway, so we got Captain America Civil War. At the end of it, we've had Rhodey get paralyzed. We had and also in that same movie, we had the confrontation with the Black Panther and all that jazz, and Spider-Man. So, the reason why, so as mentioned from the previous episodes, Black Panther takes place a week after Civil War. based on the fact that the news reports you see on their jet when they're heading home, it fits perfectly with the idea that it fits either right next to or right after Civil War. With Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming, it fits into the timeline where it literally says 2 months later, after the events of Germany. So it only makes sense that would fit there. Now, where Doctor Strange fits, which really threw people off, it was, you know, even though the Captain America Civil War and Doctor Strange were released in the same year, people were really confused where this one fits in the timeline. It's not until you listen to one of the scenes in this movie, specifically when Doctor Strange is on his drive to the conference, wherever he's going, in this amazing tuxedo and his Lambo and everything. His friend Billy gives him some people to work with. Potentials, you know? And the first one he mentions is a colonel who is paralyzed. Now, that might seem ambiguous. I'm like, okay, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But mentions a drop that he fell. And Dr. Strange promptly ignores it. So, in essence, this could easily be right. We could easily watch Dr. Strange right after Civil War. The only problem is it expands over a large amount of time. How the little scenes where he's training and everything. It makes it seem really, really short. But it actually takes a little while for him to get through all of that. I mean, the next movie we see him is in Ragnarok, is where this picks up. Because at the post-credit scenes, mid-credit scenes of Doctor Strange, he's talking with Thor. Thor Ragnarok has that scene however many minutes in. So, it fits in right between. And that's kind of a big gap there. And again, we don't really know when Infinity War fits and everything. But we can assume that it's later in the timeline. So, it makes sense to do Civil War, Black Panther, Spider-Man Homecoming, and then Doctor Strange. And then based on the context of what I just said, next week is Thor Ragnarok. So, this movie, that's where this movie fits in the timeline. It's a very, very smart way to watch this movie, and I'm really, really glad that I watched that movie so many times trying to figure out exactly where in the timeline it's supposed to fit. And sure enough, it fit perfectly. And it really does. And provides a really fun thing to sense of direction for this movie. Now, let's jump into some trivia, shall we? Now, an hour and a half in, the scene where the cloak of levitation wipes across Strange's tears was improvised on set. It was a suggestion Benedict Cumberbatch made to the crew, who liked it enough to create it, which is awesome. It makes the cloak of levitation its own personality. It makes it really, really fun. I wish they made more with it later in the series, but I think part of it is because they already had such a big budget for so many different things that they decided to only have it for Doctor Strange's origin story. Benedict Cumberbatch was the first choice and was offered the lead role of Stephen Strange, but he initially had to decline due to the theater commitments playing William Shakespeare's Hamlet, which clashed with the film's proposed shooting date. When the release date was pushed back from July 2016 to November 2016, he was able to commit to shooting. Joaquin Phoenix was the studio's second choice for the lead role after a few months of deliberation, eventually turning down the offer due to his reluctance to multi-feature deal that was required by the studio if he signed on. And not to mention he was part of Joker and everything. And I can't imagine Joaquin Phoenix as Doctor Strange. I'm sorry. It's just, I hate that guy. I'm sorry. I don't like him. Mads Mikkelsen admitted that all the computer generated imagery he got lost in, on how to film his scenes, especially during the mirror dimension scenes. Since we'll infer, I guess, is a fifth degree black belt in karate, so his movements are second nature in fighting. And director Scott Dickerson is a big fan of Doctor Strange and spent his own money on a concept video he pitched to Marvel so that he could get the job of directing the film. While filming, Benedict Cumberbatch walked into a comic book store in full costume and bought an actual Doctor Strange comic. Although this is Doctor Strange's first outing in the MCU solo film, the character has been teased in earlier movies. In Thor 2011, the Orb of Agamotto can be seen amongst the treasures of Odin's treasure chamber, which, you know, is where the houses the Time Stone. In Thor the Dark World, the crossroads in among the various phrases written in Selbig's chalkboard, the crossroads is another dimensional reality that has the prominent role in the Doctor Strange comics. In Captain America the Winter Soldier 2014, Jesper Sitzel mentioned Stephen Strange as one of the Hydra's targets that Hydra keeps under surveillance. Now, at the time, I had thought that Doctor Strange took time during that. Then again, you have all this other evidence, and also that one line from this movie that ties it with Civil War. So that's where that changes a little bit. And then you have to admit, it's funny that they mentioned Doctor Strange in Spider-Man 2 in 2004. But it's not the same universe. It's not the same world. So let's keep moving. Doctor Strange's characters, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, based his appearance on Hollywood actor Vince Prince. The character even bears the middle name of Vincent. So his full name is Stephen Vincent Strange. Due to the popularity of Marvel films, Rachel McAdams had changed of stance and became interested in appearing in any of the MCU films. Unknowingly, she was the first choice in the role of Christine. McAdams was also previously approached by Jon Favreau as the first choice to play Pepper Potts in Iron Man 2008, but she declined. Which is, I'm glad they did that, because Gwyneth Paltrow does a fantastic job as Pepper Potts. And the chemistry between her and Tony Stark works perfectly. And I don't think it would be the same with Rachel McAdams, even though their relationship between those two are so similar to Iron Man. So, in designing the Ayo Agamotto, creator of Doctor Strange, Steve Ditko drew inspiration from the real-world charm, the all-seeing eye of the Buddha, known among the Buddhists as the amulet of snail martyrs, a Nepali symbol meant to protect its wearer from evil. Now, interesting enough, there's another element of Buddhism and that world that is actually mentioned in this movie that actually I had tied with a video game. Now, bear with me. There's the scene. It's a very, very funny scene where Wiz's Bucket gives Strange the Wi-Fi password. If you look at it, it says Shangri-La. Shangri-La is in correlation with the Tree of Life, the Giving Tree, where it gives the consumer of the tree inhuman strength, and then I'm trying to remember what the name of the stone is. But if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's from Uncharted 2. Now, it's a bit of a stretch, but that's what it's called. It's called the Chintamani Stone, where it's found in Shangri-La, which is the password to the Wi-Fi password. it's all interconnected, not the same universe, but as I said, but the idea of it and the culture that surrounds isn't the same idea. And it provides a very, very, very fun story. Just, you know, that's Uncharted 2 Among Thieves. Among Thieves, which is a very, very good game. Although I hate the design they had for that one and the third one. The design for those games are terrible. Like I swear, Nathan Drake looks so bad in those games. Anyway, those two specifically. Second one specifically, but yeah. Anyway, that's not the point. Anyway, let's keep going. Around 10 minutes near the start of the movie, when there's a wide shot of Manhattan skyline, the Tony Stark's Avengers building can be seen. Benedict Cumberbatch received help with finger-tutting movements from dancer Jay Funk to make the spellcasting gestures look fluid and agile, which actually really helps with the whole idea of him regaining the strength and mobility in his hands to not knowing how to and to knowing how to. It's very, very fun how they were able to do that. Anyway, so cutting this short, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Go check out my Instagram, cinemaspill.pod. Go check out Cinemaspill on Facebook. Message me there or on Instagram, whatever. Let me know about anything you want to know or anything. Check on Instagram. I'll probably do some live streams, Q&As, you name it. Anyway, so thank you guys so much for listening. We've been talking about Doctor Strange, released in 2016. I'm your host, Hunter Burns. Until next time, see you at the movies.